praying for Brother Malcolm. Brother Malcolm, thank you so much.
All right. All right. What a blessing. My soul, we've had church already tonight. Amen?
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I want to say, first of all, what a blessing it's been today and all the wonderful, wonderful hospitality and the blessing you've been to me and to the graduates. I want you guys to know I count this an honor and a privilege to be able to be a part of your ceremony today. And what a blessing it is. I was sitting there thinking, looking back, my time in school and all the time that you go to work and you wore out and you're tired and you got to go to class and you got to do the work and all of that. But now you're sitting here and you made it.
Amen.
You made it. And so tonight, I'm speaking to you guys, but I'm speaking to everybody. This pertains to everybody. But the subject tonight is going to be now what? Now what? The work is done. The assignments are completed. You finish your task. Now what? Now what do we do with it? So if you were with me, look in Matthew chapter number 5 in verse number 14. Jesus is speaking here. And obviously he's speaking to his disciples, but when he speaks to his disciples in his word, he speaks to all of his disciples, the disciples that the disciples made, that those disciples made, that those disciples made, all the way down to us. So we can say he's talking to us. Can we say amen? So look what he says to us. Ye are the light of the world. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Here it is. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Everybody say it. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's all read it together. You ready? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for every song sung. Thank you for the commitment that has been made, Lord, to make this service happen tonight. Thank you for the graduates. Thank you for all the time they put in. Lord, thank you for all the effort they've made, all the sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for all the alumni. I was thrilled to death to see all the hands that were raised earlier. What a blessing, what an encouragement that is. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to us, please, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because we desperately need it. I pray that we'll hear from heaven tonight. I pray that you will speak to us, Lord. I pray that you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit. Control my words. Control my thoughts. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't. And Lord, don't let me forget anything I should. In Jesus' name, we humbly ask all these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to just get to really the last point. Is where we're going to really hunker down. But before we get there, I want to talk about the first two things. And we'll just say point one and point two is kind of an introduction for the message that God has in point three. All right. When we say this, if we're going to know what's next, what's next? What now? What do we do now with what we have? What do we do now that we are finished with this? What next? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to say, ultimately, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? Why do we even exist? Why are we even here? And I'm not talking about the purpose of being a pastor or a preacher or a teacher or a singer or whatever that might be. God's purpose for your life ultimately here might be to be a doctor or a lawyer or a plumber or a builder or a teacher or a painter. Or I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the big picture. I'm talking about ultimately what is your purpose for existence? Now, I've heard people guess. I've heard people guess about why God made us and why we were here. I've heard people, when I was a little kid, our Sunday school teacher say, God was lonely and he made you to have a relationship with you. That sounds good, but that's not accurate. That's not accurate. God has a myriad of angels singing to him every day. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Matter of fact, perfect angels who never rebelled against him. So that's not the reason that God made you. You see, we find here in this particular chapter, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, every person is breathing air. It is our purpose for existence to bring glory to our God. Glory to God. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, in whom also we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose, there it is, the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or you drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, in the very basic elements of life, the very simplest things that we do, we are supposed to bring glory to God. Whether we make, whatever decision we make, wherever we go, whatever we do, however we behave, we should bring glory to God. Now, what does it mean to bring glory to God? It means to make him look good. If I'm glorifying my wife, if we're in public, I am bragging on the way she looks. I'm bragging on the way she cooks. I'm bragging on the way she is a great mama. I'm telling you, she's a great mama, and she's a great nanny. She's a great, all of those things. What am I doing? I'm glorifying her. I'm bragging on her. You know what we've been doing the last half hour? We've been singing to a God who walks on the water. We've been singing to a God who shows up right on time. We've been singing to a God who met every need, saved our old wretched soul. We've been bragging on him. That's what it means to glorify God. Now, and the Bible says everything we do should bring him glory. Now watch this. Ultimately, creation. This is all going to make sense. I'm telling you, this is going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people. Watch this. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sake. Have y'all ever wondered why God allowed the devil in the garden? I'm the only one. You ever wonder why, if God knew that Satan was going to deceive Eve and trip up Adam, why in the world did he do that? Oh yeah. Why did things happen the way they happened? Why didn't God prevent certain things when he did? Watch this. This is so good. Oh, this is great. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, say that word with me, the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many, so we got abundant grace, now we've got the thanksgiving of many, redound, or that means to bring to pass, to the glory of God. Now, what is he saying? First of all, you have abundant grace, and then you have abundant thanksgiving, and now it brings abundant glory. Preacher, what are you saying? When people, specifically sinners who are guilty, who are rebels that need to be chased down, I'm talking about wicked sinners who they experience the grace of God, the unmerited favor, favor that's not been earned, favor that's not deserved, favor that's just given to you by the grace of God. Man, you get a case of the can't help us, and you go over here and you start, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you, God, for my mercy. Thank you, God, for my home in heaven. Thank you, God. I don't deserve it, but oh, God, I'm thanking you. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is my amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. You know what that does? That brings glory to God. Preacher, what are you saying? God designed this whole thing. Do you realize that the whole Bible is the story of the redemption of man? And God allowed it to happen because there's nothing that brings him more glory than an old sinner who's saved by grace, a sinner who's experienced grace, and now he's offering thanksgiving, which it ultimately brings glory to God. That's why you exist.
Amen.
To bring glory to God. To bring glory to God in your life. To bring glory to God in your behavior. To bring glory to God in your decisions. Whether you're a preacher, bring glory to God. If you're a teacher, bring glory to God. If you're a painter, bring glory to God. If you're a doctor, bring glory to God. I went to my dentist the other day and he's working on my teeth, humming. Yeah, humming. Humming gospel songs, humming hymns, singing right there in the dentist's office. What's he doing? He is operating in his profession, but ultimately he's bringing
glory.
That's why you exist. Let me ask you a question. Are you bringing glory to God?
Amen.
You see, your purpose is to bring glory to God. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Secondly, we see not only our purpose, but we see our practice. All right, how are we going to get this done? How are we going to bring glory to God? Well, he tells us how. Jesus, before he goes back to heaven, he gives some last minute advice. Now, how many of y'all, when you was kids growing up, just out of curiosity, how many of y'all grew up before the timeout era? How many of y'all still grew up in the whooping era? Amen. Thank God. Time out. Are you serious? The only time out we ever knew is mom was whooping me, called time out, and dad started whooping me. Say amen. Listen, I grew up in the era where when mom and dad went to town or they went out of town, or they had a list for you to do. Does anybody remember that? And you best get it done, amen? Well, do you realize before Jesus left, he left us something to do? Before he stepped out on that cloud, he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He says, go and make disciples, teaching them to do observe whatsoever I have commanded you. Are y'all with me? So how do we bring glory to God? That ultimately, that's our purpose. That's what we are here for. That's why the church exists. You were not saved to go to church.
Amen.
You were saved to be the church that brings glory to God. Now, how do we bring glory to God? By making disciples. Say that with me. By
making disciples.
Everybody say it real loud. By
making disciples.
Do you know what that's called? It's called the Great Commission. Do you know what? They've done surveys today. Do you know in the American church, 70% of the people surveyed could not tell you what the Great Commission was? 70% who went to church every week had no idea what the Great Commission was. And we wonder why the church is plateauing and dying in America.
Amen.
What's the Great Commission? Go and make disciples. One of the saddest statistics I ever heard was over 97% of people who are saved and born again will die and go to their grave without ever sharing their faith with a single person. That is terrible.
That's right.
Terrible. We're supposed to make disciples. Make disciples. Whatever we do, make disciples. If you're a preacher, make disciples. If you're a teacher, make disciples. If you're a painter, make disciples. You take Jesus wherever you are. So, oh, but we have visitation night. You don't need visitation night.
Right.
The Great Commission, and let me read it just so in case some of y'all don't believe me. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that phrase, go ye therefore, teach all nations. Specifically, go ye therefore. It literally means, if you put it in our terminology, it means as you are going. As you are going. In other words, as you go to the ball field, as you go to the laundromat, as you go to the grocery store, as you go to the market, as you go to wherever you go, electric store, the phone store, as you go to the restaurant, make disciples. Make disciples. Now watch this. This is number three. Now, what is our ultimate purpose? We're supposed to glorify God, bring glory to God in our life. Now, the great commission that God has given us in order to bring glory to God, right, is to what? Make disciples. Now, number three, this is we're just going to hang right here. Don't be a minute. It's going to be fast tonight. Amen. Number three, we see our pattern. And we find our pattern with the Apostle Paul in his protege, Timothy. Timothy's mentor was the Apostle Paul. How many of y'all would agree that the Apostle Paul was a great missionary? How many of y'all would agree that the Apostle Paul was a great disciple maker? Now watch what he tells. Watch what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, who he has left in Ephesus. This is what he tells him. This is what he says. In 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, in verse number 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, where do we see? First of all, in the pattern of making disciples. First of all, we see Paul and Timothy. This is how he addresses Timothy, "my son." And if you go back to 1 Timothy, he says this, "my son in the faith." Say that with me, "my son in the faith." So watch this, Paul did three things. First of all, he shared his faith. Say that with me. He
shared his faith.
One more time. He
shared his faith.
You see, Paul shared his faith with Timothy and led Timothy to the Lord. Paul was Timothy's father in the faith. And so he shared his faith with Timothy. Now, I want to encourage you. I want to beg you. I want to plead with you. I seen the scrolling of the announcements up there earlier before church started about coming, writing out your story, and then sharing your story. I want to plead with you. Write your story out, print your story out, and then pass your story out. Share your faith. You've got to share your faith. You've got to tell people what God has done for you. What did Jesus tell the demoniac? He said, "Go and tell your friends, your family, what great things the Lord hath done for you." Share your faith. We make disciples by sharing our faith. The problem with most churches, now this is it, this is the deal. The problem with most churches, they're not sharing their faith, they're sharing sheep. They'll get mad at first certain church down the road and get disgruntled there and come here, and they'll get disgruntled here and go there, and all we're doing is sheep swapping. We can't do that. We've got to go to the lost. We've got to go to the unchurched. We've got to go to the unsaved. We've got to go to the people who don't know Christ. And if they were to die right now, they'd bust hell wide open. But it's never going to happen unless we share our faith. Now watch, watch. Brother Robbie, you got your eyes? Okay. On that last point, I'm going to get you to read something for me. Okay, I'm going to go down here. That'd be all right. Now watch this. We share our faith. We share our faith. We share what God's done for us. We tell people what God has done. Paul shared his faith with Timothy. Then secondly, watch this. This is so good. He said, "My son shared his faith." That's where we get that point. My son in the faith. what you have learned of me. What you have learned of me. See, secondly, he not only shared his faith, he shared his knowledge.
That's right.
His knowledge. Paul spent time teaching and training Timothy. You guys have them hats on for a reason. Because a certain Paul spent time investing knowledge into certain Timothys.
That's right.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Now, he's way better Christian than I am. Because that's a lot of hours. And that's a lot of time. And that's a lot of coon hunting space he used up. To do what? To invest in you.
That's right. Amen.
If you're a graduate, if you're an alumni, can you stand? I saw those hands earlier, but if you don't care, oh my soul. Look at this. Yeah. Yeah. Now watch this. Stay standing. That which thou hast learned of me. I don't know, some of y'all, Brother Robbie may have led you to faith. I don't know. But whether he led you to faith in that first point, he has invested knowledge into you guys.
That's right.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
All right, you be seated. Watch this now. Here's the last point. I told you it's going to be short. Brother Robbie, can you go up there? It's printed off at that bottom point. Don't give the point. Don't give the sub point. Just give me the verses. Now watch what Paul says. He says, that which thou hast learned of me, commit thou. The word commit means to place alongside. Place alongside. Now, first, he shared his faith. Then, he shared his knowledge. Can we say amen right there?
Amen.
Now, watch this. This is what you got to see about Paul. Before we talk about that last point, that very last point, this is what I want you to see about Paul and understand about Paul. Preacher, can you read that verse about the Apostle Paul right underneath the last
Romans
hook?
Romans chapter number 1, verse 14 through
Romans
16.
Romans chapter number 1, verse
14 through 16.
Watch this.
Paul says, I am a debtor.
A debtor. I owe.
Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Paul says, I am obligated. I have a debt. I have to go and preach the gospel. It has been entrusted to me. I am in debt to preach it, to proclaim it, to give it. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. I have got to preach the gospel. Can y'all feel the intensity of those verses? Amen. Now watch this here. Watch this. It gets even better. Watch this, preacher.
Romans chapter number 9. Verses 1 through 3. It says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not.
Now watch this now. When somebody tells you, but right before they tell you something, they say, now look, I ain't lying. Now when they say that, what they're fixing to say sounds like a lie. Yeah. Are y'all with me?
That's right.
So what Paul is fixing to say is so intense, it is so big, it's going to be hard to believe. And so when he tells you, before he tells you, he said, I ain't lying. I am not lying. This is what I mean. Preacher.
All right. He says, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
Do you know what that literally means? He is saying by those verses, if it was possible for all of my brethren to be saved if I went to hell, I would be willing to be cursed and go to hell for the sake of my brethren.
Amen.
That sounds like a lie. He said, I am in continual sorrow and a burden in my heart. Can y'all sense the burden of the Apostle Paul? He said, I'm a debtor to preach. I've got to preach. This is hurting me. This is breaking me so bad. I have got a burden for my brethren. I've got a burden for my kinsmen. I want to see them saved so bad. Can y'all see this burden with me? Can y'all see Paul's burden? Now watch this last verse. Watch this last verse.
Romans 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
My heart's desire. I'm not praying for a new chariot. I'm not praying for a new house. I'm not praying for money in the bank. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved.
That's right.
Can y'all tell Paul is carrying a burden? Man, he's carrying a burden. That's why he did what he did. That's why he preached like he preached. That's why he went where he went. He was carrying a burden. Say that with me. He was
carrying a burden.
Now watch this. I said everything I said tonight to say this. Paul shared his faith with Timothy. Now, preacher, can you come down here if you don't care? Come on down here. Bear, can you help me a minute? You're a little tiny fella. Come over here. Now, Preacher Brown was a big guy, wasn't he? He's a pretty big guy. He's about that tall, wasn't he? You're going to play Preacher Brown for me. He was our mentor. And he invests a lot in us, yes, a lot. So you're Preacher Brown.
Yes, sir.
Scripturally, you're the Apostle Paul. Preacher Brown took Pastor Robbie and invested knowledge and wisdom and skills. He spent time, hours, investing in his Timothy. Preacher Brown invested in Pastor Robbie. Come here, Harley Davidson. Come on. Right here. I'm sorry, what's your name?
Frank.
Frank? I like Harley. Let's stick with Harley.
All right, Harley, be good.
Paul says to Timothy, that which thou hast learned of me, commit thou to faithful men.
That's right.
That, there's one more. Yeah. That they may be able to, you're slow up there. You got 2 Timothy chapter 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2? Oh, Lord, that's the preacher's wife. I better behave. I forgot. Sis?
Yeah, you better.
2 Timothy verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I know what it's all about. Watch this now. Watch this. You have four generations. You have Paul invested into Timothy, who invested into faithful men, who will be able to teach
others.
Come on. Who may be able to teach
others
also.
That's right.
Now watch. Now watch. Now watch. Paul shared his faith. Then he shared his knowledge.
Right.
Now watch this. Then he shared his burden.
That's right.
His burden. You see, when he said, commit thou to faithful men, the word commit means to place alongside. Harley, that means that pastor is here carrying a burden for Lake Park. He's here carrying a burden for South Georgia. He's here, not just South Georgia. Y'all give to missions and y'all serve in the mission field. I know he's gone to youth camps and done all of these things. He has got a burden for America. But do you realize that Pastor Robbie cannot do this by himself? So he has to invest in faithful men so that they may be able to help him carry the burden that God has given him for Lake Park, Georgia. Now listen, I need all the alumni to stand one more time. I promise. I know I'm being bossy tonight, but this will help. Please stand, all the alumni. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so proud of you and the effort and the work and the labor that you guys did in those classes. But I hope you understand you didn't do that for that piece of paper. Those nights of labor and investment that Pastor Robbie put into you was not so you could be smarter Christians. It was so that you could be faithful people who would be willing to help him what? Carry his
burden.
And I want to ask you, are you carrying? Are you carrying? Did you take that piece of paper and hang it up on your wall and say, got her done? Because that's not why he did it. He's got a burden. He invested in you. He put time in. Listen, all you guys did too. I'm not taking none of that away. You labored. You worked. I've been there. I've done that. I know what it is. But we got that education so we could help him carry his burden that will ultimately bring glory to God. And all God's people said, can we take about 10 seconds and just give God glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving? Yes. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for walking on the water. Thank you for showing up right on time. Thank you for healing our diseases. Thank you for solving our problems. Thank you for mending our brokenness. Thank you for chasing rebels down when they didn't want to be caught. Thank you for people who are faithful. Lord, people that have sacrificed, people that have given it all to finish these courses, finish these classes. Now, God, we got a job to do. Lord, we've got disciples to make. We've got our faith to share. We've got knowledge that has been invested in us, not so we could sit on it, not so we could hoard it up, but so that we could go and invest it in others to help carry the burden. Pastor Robbie can't do it by himself. Calvary Church can't do it by themselves. God, we've got to go make other disciples. We got to go lead others to Christ. We got to go lead others to faith. We got to go and invest our knowledge into other people so that they can invest in someone else. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Lord, I pray that you will use this message to challenge these graduates not to sit on what they've earned, but to go use what they earned. Go use that knowledge. Go take that knowledge and give it to someone who doesn't have it. As Pastor Robbie has made so many disciples in here, I pray that they will take what they've received and go make more so that we can bring glory to you. The more people experience grace, the more thanksgiving that's given, the more glory that's expressed. God, have your way with your people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor Robert.